from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad's not here right now. He's still at work. So I'm going to bless him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm going to see if there's a clean version so that my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water just in case if stuff gets too fire. I'm going to set up the speaker. And I'm going to listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good on it, and I like his aggressiveness on it. And
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mumble rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need the spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
Joey Votto. All right. Hey. Who's got two thumbs and is going to a Bisons game on Saturday? This guy.
There we go.
This guy is finally going to a Bisons game. I say finally. Every summer goes by. We've talked about this intermittently. It's not something I love bringing up. But here we are, because I'm actually going. I took the step to go. Years have gone by where, you know, the weather starts to get nice. It's May, June. Like, boy, I should get to a ball game. I'd really like to get to a ball game. And then it's Labor Day. And it's just like, what? Last series of the season? Wait, what? I can't go this way. I didn't go to a game all year. The stadium's like 8 minutes from my house. I did the thing that is vital to do, at least for me. I don't know how you prioritize these things differently than I do. Bisons, when our kids were little, it was like a spur of the moment thing. Like, we're up on a Saturday. What do we got going? Not much. Why don't we go to a ball game? Yeah, great. Done. And what has happened as the kids got older and are just, you know, completely free and clear of, I mean, they live with us still, but they're, you know, they're adults. There's just always, that never works out. The idea to that plan, my wife's work schedule, me golfing now, whatever it is, it just spur of the moment doesn't work. So early this week, I heard the ads. I knew that they had a homestand starting tonight. I didn't know about Joey Votto, but I knew that homestand starting tonight. Canadian Superman, my buddy John Gale, who comes down most Saturdays to play golf with me, the big Blue Jays fan, and he, even with his bugging me for years over years here about Bisons games, we just never do it. But I knew the homestand was coming. And I said, you know what? Let's just do this. I went online and you can do this. You can buy tickets. It's like a normal sporting event. Mostly they usually just show up at work here, and that's how we often end up going to games. But I took the step, made plans. And so now we've got plans, and that's it, which is good because since I made that commitment and we're going to this game tomorrow night, Kyle Brandt's going to be in town to throw out the first pitch. That's, you know, cool. Love how much he flies the flag for Buffalo. So pretty cool that he'll be around for that. But since I made this commitment to go to the Bisons on Saturday, like 10 other things have come across my social media feeling. Oh, Billy Bragg is playing at the town ballroom. I probably should. Oh, that's Saturday. Oh, this is how I end up never going to Bisons games. It's not a slight on them. I just don't prioritize it enough. And something else catches my attention in the moment. Like, okay, I'm going to do that. My friends are playing on a patio somewhere. I'm going to go do that. I'm going to do that, whatever. And I needed to, like, put it on the board. I needed to commit, spend a couple of bucks, and get some tickets. And now, so we're going. So, hope, I don't know. He's starting tonight, Votto. Hopefully, he's in the lineup tomorrow when I'm in the ballpark. Although, you know, I'm hardly going to throw a fit if he does. I just really want a couple of hot dogs and a couple of beers and just going to hang out and watch a ball game.
It really is the dream, though, isn't it? You go to a ballpark, you hang out. The hot dogs never made well, quote unquote, but they taste the best. Like that's what you're looking for. The taste lasts forever. And then, yeah, get a couple beers. It's a great afternoon.
It's going to be night, but, you know.
Oh, there we go. That's even better. Night, yeah. That's even better.
Sunday is Bluey.
The icon? To fathers everywhere? Bluey?
I guess. I don't even...
I don't know. I'm not a father. I just hear about it.
Yeah. I know Jer and Mal and the kids are all going to on Sunday afternoon. Yeah, it's Bluey Day. Bluey and someone... I don't know the lingo. I don't know. Honestly, when Jer first tweeted about Bluey, I thought he was talking about Blue's Clues. I thought, like, Blue's Clues, like, they rebranded Blue's Clues as Bluey because, you know, whatever, just to be more contemporary. I have no idea. But it's a whole different thing, and the kids love it. So, anyway, I'm out for that. But Saturday night, Kyle Brandt bobblehead night. Woo! Sign me up. Anyway, good to have you with us here on a Friday afternoon. I am the Bulldog. Mike Schoep has the day off. Zach Jones alongside today as well. We got kind of a jacked up show today. I don't mean screwed up. I shouldn't have used that phrasing. A lot of guests and kind of in a little different spots. Brian Koziel will be with us here in about 20 minutes. The only time he had today to fit in because he's got an event tonight, which we'll talk about coming up later on. So we'll get Brian in on the day that has been not quite complete yet. There are still quite a few golfers out on the course at Royal Troon, but the Open Championship, I think the leaderboard is pretty well set heading into the weekend. I don't think there's really anybody that's still out there that's challenging for, you know, one of the top spots. So we'll get the lowdown on what's going on there and what the weekend looks like from Brian coming up in about 20 minutes. One of our very favorites, our buddy Tyler Dunn, will be my guest at 4 o'clock today. We'll get the rundown on the Bills. He's got a happy hour thing tonight at his golongtd.com with Rob Johnson. So we'll get a preview of that and talk all things Bills and NFL with Tyler. And it's been a while. I haven't talked to Paul all week. Sabres have been quiet, obviously. It's the middle of July. But we'll touch base with Paul, see if he thinks they should be trying to get busy to add one more piece. This seems, I think, the general consensus among the fan base is that they did not make the move for a top six forward, and that one is still maybe called for. Anyway, we'll pick Paul's brain on that, plus arbitration and contract negotiations will be ramping up with specifically Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen is maybe the most important one there. I think one of the new guys also is scheduled to go to arbitration, but Luukkonen is really the key guy there. So we'll talk to Paul at 5 o'clock. I've posted a couple of tweets with polls and some Bills thoughts that maybe can kind of get us up and running here. Not, you know, no heavy lifting again. It's a Friday in the middle of July here, but camp. By this time next week, we'll be into camp. First practice is Wednesday, and they will be rolling. So, you know, not quite like plant a flag type of vibes here because, you know, camp is only camp. Once we get to camp, then we'll just sort of be waiting impatiently for the first preseason game. And then once we get to the first preseason game, we'll be waiting impatiently for the real games. That's generally the clock that I'm on when we get into the summer and it's football and there's these signposts. You kind of get excited and then, okay, this really isn't that big a deal. Like, oh, preseason game, this guy, it's not that big a deal. But then, you know, get me to September. So anyway, with that in mind, What is the most likely outcome you see for this season? Just plain and simple. The poll is as follows. Fifth straight division title. Wild card. In the hunt but miss. Or, I don't know, did I say fireball? Tire fire. That's more on brand. I don't use that as often as I used to, but it's still, I still get a lot of love for tire fire. Anyway, I don't think that that's very likely at all, but I felt like I wanted to be thorough and include that. I'm not thinking about what the postseason will bring, because that, I think we've learned, is a whole different thing. So I'm not thinking about the Super Bowl or what round they'll make in the playoffs, should they make it. It's more just the regular season. What's on your radar? What do you think is the most likely outcome here? Is it a fifth straight division title? Is it a wild card bid? Is it in the hunt but miss? Or is it tire fire? The only way you end up at tire fire is if something happens to Josh Allen. I think whatever concerns I've got, we've got, and we definitely can talk about this too. There's another poll, like, what's your biggest area of concern? I had to include wide receivers. I was tempted to, like, aside from the receiver room and then come up with, you know, different choices, but I felt like that would be kind of cheating. So receivers, pass rush, the new safeties, coaching. I put on there too, because that's usually pretty high on people's lists. I think whether it's the coordinators or whether they're going to run the ball more than they have in the past, or whether it's McDermott and his style and his conservative nature, which has made some of us, including myself, really crazy at different times throughout his career, despite the excellent record and four straight AFC East division titles. There's stuff there that can get in the way as you're thinking about the coach of the team. So most likely outcome for me, I still like this team very much to win the division. And it's largely because I don't trust the Jets. I just don't. We talk about it. It comes up almost every day because the Jets are, they almost have the same odds to win the division that the Bills do. They have a fantastic roster. The defense has given the Bills and lots of teams in the NFL fits. And they've got one of the greatest quarterbacks who's ever lived playing quarterback for them. So what's the problem, Bulldog? I think it so much rests on Rodgers and whether he can do it and do it for enough games to really make a difference for them, and I just don't trust it. I think as soon as they have any, maybe they'll have just a perfectly smooth year, and there won't be any adversity. They'll just sort of cruise to their 11 or 12 wins or something, and everything will go great. But how often do football seasons go like that? Very rarely. And how often do the Jets seasons go like that? Almost never. They're the Jets. I mean, they know how to do one thing. Jet. They know how to, that's it. Things get screwed up. And I think so much rests on Rodgers that I just feel like the whole thing could just topple. It's the first sign of adversity. I think I said it this way yesterday. I think the first sign of adversity, the guys in that locker room will start eating each other. I just think it is going to be open season on the offensive coordinator, on the head coach, on the quarterback. I just think it's really, really fragile, I think, is how I would describe the Jets.
I think, too, is like there's got to be a lot of tension in there. Like, I don't really know what the feelings are around Robert Saleh, like, in terms of Bills fans, but I would imagine he's got to be on the hot seat. He's, I think, the favorite to be fired first. And then Joe Douglas, kind of be the same thing. So you got two kind of like the faces outside of Rodgers and the ownership are on the hot seat. And yeah, like, if like they open up with San Francisco right away, if they get blown out in week one, or it's just not a good game, what have you, it immediately starts teetering towards, oh no, we're the Jets. It's all coming back. And I think that might actually be the most honest answer, is they're the Jets. They have not proven a single thing right, that they know what they're doing.
Why should you trust them?
Yeah, so why am I going to trust them now? Because their quarterback's 40 and coming off an Achilles injury? Oh, Great. Yeah, that's exactly what I need to hear.
Right. Yeah, that is, you know, and I know, look, you can say the same thing about the Bills or the Dolphins or any team in the league that the Chiefs, any team in the league that has a great quarterback. You know, the thing about Rodgers, though, is, and Zach just said it, the age, the injury he's coming off of, what he had was the last time he played a full season, which was, you know, kind of as bad as he's been in his career. It was still good. It, you know, believe me, if he's what he was 2 years ago with the Packers and he's relatively healthy, the Jets will probably be fine. But should you expect that? I mean, he missed a whole year. I don't trust how he looks moving around at this point. I haven't seen a lot of it, but what I've seen is concerning. So, but I think a lot of it is the dynamics and the chemistry and the impression that I think you get from out here that I'd be surprised if at least some guys in the locker room don't share, which is our coach has basically been emasculated by the quarterback. He gets what he wants. He's in charge. They don't trust the coordinator, but the quarterback likes him, so we're going to go with this. And I think anytime the guy that is the voice, right, the guy that is the leader of the men in the locker room has been compromised in that way, I think that's just a very bad place to start. Can it work? Of course. You know, Rodgers plays great. And, you know, the schedule, we talked a lot about their schedule yesterday. This is the Jets we're talking about now, not the Bills. You know, it's soft, relatively speaking, after that San Francisco opener. So even if they have a tough game to start, it is soft enough that they should be able to find their legs. But if they don't, I just think the drama is ready to swallow them. And I think the coach is going to be lacking for credibility because of it. And I just think that's a very bad place to start. So if everything goes smooth, then there's probably no trouble and they cruise to, at worst, a wild card, or they challenge the Bills for the AFC East. But if there's bumps, I just think the turbulence will be louder and more uncomfortable than normal because of the way things are set up there. I think the coach is in a very bad spot. Going into the year in New York with the Jets. I like the Dolphins better than the Jets. I believe in the talent on offense. I believe in the coach. And I don't think they're a threat to be a Super Bowl team, really, because I think, you know, they haven't really proven yet that they can punch with the big boys. But I think they'll win enough games to be a wild card team. And I like them. I think they're more stable than the Jets. I think they'll get the contract stuff with Tua figured out here eventually. And they'll just sort of be what they've been, which is, you know, a good team. Last year, they were in the driver's seat in the division for a lot of the year. And just could not close, and the Bills caught him from behind and beat him on the last day of the season to win the division. So I like the Bills ahead of both the Dolphins and the Jets, and I think in that order. And that's how I see it. I don't see a year where the Bills are competing for the one seed. I think the schedule is too tough, and I think they are, you know, it may take them a little while to get sort of acclimated with all the new pieces on offense, the receiver room, the safeties on the back end of the defense. The offensive line is shuffled around a little bit. I mean, new center, new left guard. The center was the left guard last year, but still it's new. It's a new position. So, I don't think the Bills are a team that should be at the top of the conference, but the top of the division, sure. I mean, a very similar year to last year, I could see unfolding for the Bills, and that included an AFC East win of the division and the two seed.
It ultimately turned out pretty well. It ultimately went well, even though the season was kind of painful to get through.
Rocky, yeah.
I do wonder, though. Like, I don't imagine they're going to be in the one-seed hunt. I think the Chiefs, especially in offense, are much better than they have been in the last 2 years. Their defense is still good. Their division is a train wreck. But I don't really, like, outside of the Chiefs and maybe Houston, I don't really love anyone else in the AFC to kind of, like, vault forward. Like, Cincinnati is kind of like the Bills' kryptonite, realistically. Like, when we're looking just bad matchups, it's not even good games. They're kind of blown out. I don't really know what to make of them going forward here. They lost their two safeties last offseason. They didn't really replace them here. Burrow's health's a huge question mark. Boyd walks in free agency. How thrilled is Higgins to be there? I mean, the Bengals is a lot of talk. I could actually really see them being like the 2 or 3 seed, and we're all kind of sitting here, same thing last year, going, wait, really? We're that high? Okay, I guess it's our year again, or it's a good shot. I could really see that happening, especially I like a lot of the young pieces they have kind of across the board. I'm nervous for a few things, but overall, I don't want to say they got rid of dead weight. That's kind of mean, but they got rid of the older veterans and making way for the new young guys.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what the back end of the secondary looks like for the Bills. Hyde and Poyer were just such a comfort, I think. I mean, they were excellent players, and I think the amount of trust the fans even had in them, not just the McDermott and the rest of the defense, there was a lot of comfort there. But I've said many times, like, that they were on the wrong side of the age curve, and I think there is the potential for them to actually get better back there, which I know sounds crazy because you're talking about all pro type players, but they were on the wrong side of it, I think, especially Poyer. So you're going to lose some veteran savvy and some know-how, and that could really hurt you. But I think athletically, they could actually improve back there. The guy I might be most worried about that's in a role set to start, for all the talk about the receiver room, Taylor Rapp kind of scares me. He just feels like a kind of almost a throwback type safety who's going to like go for the big hit. And I just really worry about a guy like that.
There was a lot of times, too, I would say more early in the year, because his year ended great with the pick against Tua, and that's somewhat of a lasting memory for a lot of people. But early in the year, it was kind of like, ooh, all right, he's maybe over-pursuing, he's kind of out of position, it didn't look right. I mean, it was kind of always the signing was to eventually potentially take over for Hyde and Poyer. But yeah, I'm kind of with you. Like, that was like the one spot where I'm like, I don't totally know if this is going to work, and he does make me very nervous. Yeah. I will tell you, though, for me, probably it's not the new safeties that I'm most nervous about. It is the pass rush.
Yeah.
We've talked a lot about it, and now, like, going through it, and they haven't added that late guy, that Leonard Floyd, like they did last year. I'm sitting here, you know, at night before I go to bed going, man, I really hope Von Miller's 28 again. I really hope that happens, because, look, Greg Rousseau's pretty solid. AJ Epenesa, I know the underlying numbers like him a lot. Ed Oliver looks great on the interior, but I'm looking at three guys that are best solid, good dudes, kind of need them on your team, but no one that's that they end games. There's no one there, and you got to hope it's Vaughn again.
When you, like, I have a variety of windows open every day, and the depth chart is one of them. And that, I don't know, was it last week or even, it was last week we talked to Aaron Quinn, because he's bullish on, Aaron Quinn from Cover One was a guest with us last week, and he's very, very bullish on Miller's recovery. You know, the extra year after the ACL, of course last year was kind of a lost year, but you can count on him to be back. But that almost has to be right for you to have, I think, a decent amount of faith in their pass rush, because there isn't a lot there. Like, Floyd is a big loss. Dwayne Smoot is an injury recovery story. Von Miller, same thing. Epenesa, Rousseau, like Zach just said, like, they've been good players, but man, I don't know where the rotation is, and I just don't know where the sacks are going to come from when I look at that depth chart. If Miller isn't some semblance of who he was when he first got here. If he is, then everything's fine. But, you know, if the year starts and you see him flying around the edge against the Cardinals, you're like, oh, okay, oh, that's back. Okay, good. Then, you know, you might feel a lot better. But sitting here right now, man, I haven't seen that, and I just, it's hard to trust it, I think. There's just some initial thoughts there. As I said, we're kind of, I did use the phrasing jacked up. Like, we're setting the tone here, talking about the Bills, and now we're abruptly going to stop because we got Brian Colesio coming up. See, I chose this. I'm in charge. We put the show together, but that's how it goes. Anyway, we'll reload this Bills conversation as we go, but we'll take a timeout here and get Brian set up for us to talk about today's almost concluded second round of the Open Championship from Royal Troon on the west coast of Scotland. I watched a real honest-to-goodness professional golfer make a 9 today on a par 3. So that was fun. I think it was a 9. Maybe it was an 8. It was horrendous. So, you know, you guys out there, you gals out there, you weekend duffers, take some solace. Pro golfer, quintuple bogey today on a par 3. Tough one. Anyway, we'll talk to Brian. Tyler Dunn at 4. Paul Hamilton at 5. Time for you as well at 803-0550. Thanks for being with us. Mike is off today along with Zachary Jones. I am the Bulldog, and you're listening to WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!